DJ Nico.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 181 somehow of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and this conversation will have you laughing at old nudes, sugar daddies, and feeling like a garage band superstar.
I got a question. Why the fuck didn't we talk about sugar daddies and old nudes then? I see what you've done. You've done what you do every week. It's the pun. It's the pun. Ha 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 ha. Song based punnery at the beginning. How do we miss out? She's got a song called Old Nudes and sugar daddy talk. I can't get over it. Well, she'd have to come back on. Anyway, this week's guest is the very, very funny and fantastic songwriter, Lauren Hibbard.
Yes, and Lauren has become one of our new favourite artists, mixing funny, mischievous and tongue-in-cheek lyrics with a slacker pop style of emo that'll rattle around in your brain repeatedly. Throughout 2022, she's already checked off a bunch of things on the bucket list, playing Brixton Academy with The Snuts, touring with Stand Atlantic, and having a track with Limp Bizkit's DJ Lethal. All ahead of a debut studio record, Garage Band Superstar, being released on August the 19th via Virgin Music. So we wanted to invite her on for a full introduction into her humour, creative mindset, and overall badass exterior. And I know she's someone with a refreshing outlook on life that you've loved seeing, Sean.
Yes, very much so. I couldn't get over the funness of the chat. Yeah, I follow Lauren on Instagram, and her Instagram is very, very funny as well, and everything she posts is great. As you mentioned, but you said it in American, I'll say it in British, her album Garage Band Superstar is going to be fucking fantastic. I know it. So yeah, this is a really, 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 really fun, good, light-hearted chat with Lauren, and I can't wait till we have her on again, because I believe she's a superstar in her own right anyway. She should have her own podcast or YouTube channel or something like that. So if you're a TV producer, listen to this. Number one, why the fuck haven't I got a TV program? But also, number two, check out Lauren Hibbard because she's really funny. And I guess then, hey, if you need a male and a female presenter for anything. Hey, I'm setting myself up, yeah. Oh, fuck you, Morg. I'm out this bitch. Yes!
This is
Sapnin
taking
TV featuring me and Lauren. Yes!
Gee, well, this is taking a massive turn I was not expecting. But no, I will agree with you. She's very funny. Her social media is second to none. And throughout this conversation, we're just going to have a really nice insight into everything going on. We talk the real stress and pressure behind making this debut studio album. Hello. Love for alternative bands like Weezer, some very straightforward lyrics, the fact that not only does she have DJ Lethal, but Brandon B. Brown of Wheatus featuring on new material, some evil tour curses, imposter syndrome, and a lot of exciting things over the summer, including the fact that she will be performing live at 2000 Trees Festival in July at Cheltenham, and we cannot wait for that.
No, we can't. Yeah, let's have her involved in the podcast at 2000 Trees, please, because she's very, very funny. And more people need to hear about her, definitely.
Yeah, and there's a lot of excitement at the festival for her set. Of course, 2000 Trees not only bring you a phenomenal lineup every year, but produce an atmosphere like no other. It's one of our favorite events every summer. And this year's lineup is absolutely stacked. You've got the likes of The Regrets, who Lauren's done a track with in the past, playing Girly, Zand, Creeper, Boston Manor, The Covey, Young Guns, Nova Twins, and of course, the likes of You, Me at Six, Turnstile, Thrice, Jimmy Eat World, and Idols, who will be headlining the event. It's one not to miss. And if you're thinking, ooh, that sounds really good, I'd like to get myself down to 2000 Trees Festival, well, by listening to this podcast, they've given you an exclusive discount code for 10% off all your tickets. If you head over to 2000treesfestival.co.uk/ticket, enter the promo code SAPNIN at the top of the page, you get 10% off all your tickets. So there's no excuse not to go and see Lauren Hibbert live at 2000 Trees this July.
Yes, and also, while we're on 2000 Trees, on the Saturday, they're doing this mad thing where they put the headliners on first, I believe, or something like that. So if you check out the Cave stage on the Saturday, you get Friday. To see the headliners.
You're playing Friday.
Friday, we fucking dog shit. Leave it in, man. I haven't got a fucking clue. Yeah. So anyway, yes, they're doing Upside Down headliners on the Friday. I completely realised that Friday's the middle day of Trees, and that's why I thought, I'm a fucking idiot. Yeah, so turn up, 12 o'clock Friday, the Cave stage. The headliners are playing there. I won't say any more, but if you're massively disappointed, fight the frontman of that band who's watching. Because it'll be me! Yes, my band Raiders are playing. At Raiders Band UK on the socials. Check it out, please, for the love of God. Raiders UK on streaming services. Please give us a listen, because it would be nice that anybody gives a shit whatsoever. So, yes. Can't wait for 2000 Trees. It's going to be a fucking fantastic midweek to weekend. So, yes, 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets.
Yes, we cannot wait for that. It's going to be a true highlight. And before we go into this conversation, if we could take a quick moment, normally we would mention our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, and the whole community we've kind of built through there. But we just would like to take a serious moment with some very sad and heartbreaking news that's happened this week with one of our beloved friends, community members, and just larger than life personalities.
Yes. Sadly, this week, our close friend Ryan Chisholm passed away. Due to mental health, I believe. If anybody's out there struggling, please, you're not alone. Reach out to anybody, reach out to us. And we just want to send a lot of love to his family. We're thinking of you. And yeah, he's a great person, fantastic supporter of this podcast. I loved spending time with him. I'm going to miss him. But yeah, if you're struggling, please reach out to friends, family, the Samaritans. There's loads of different charities and numbers for you to check out and call. Yeah, so this episode is dedicated to Ryan Chisholm, who was one of the main supporters of women in music. I've never met anybody more supportive of women in music. Yeah, so this one's for him. We love you very much.
Yeah, Ryan was a big part of so many people's lives in the music industry, and the overwhelming things of support we've seen on social media the last couple of days as being it's been incredible, and it's just really, really heartbreaking to hear the news. So just wanted to send love to all his loved ones and his family and everything, and hope everyone's doing okay. But with that being said, let's take a moment to have a laugh and enjoy life and just get a little bit silly with the wonderful Lauren Hibbert, whose debut album comes out this summer, and we can't wait to see what happens next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
Hooray!
Yes, this week's guest is pop rock princess, soon to be superstar, Lauren Hibbard. How are you?
I mean, that's a pretty good intro. I feel good off the back.
I try.
To be honest. It's all good.
Right, thank you for joining us. That was the week's episode.
That's it. That's it. Oh.
Oh, brilliant.
But no, how's things going with you at the moment in the camp? I'm sure it's just excitement leading up to this record.
Yeah, things are good. It's like making an album's fun, putting it out is kind of stressful, but I'm loving it. I did not anticipate the amount of stuff that goes into making a record beyond making a record. But apart from that, I'm feeling it. I'm having a good time. I'm having fun.
Nice. Well, what was it? What was it about putting a record out that surprised you most?
There's just so many elements to making an album. I think having gone from just releasing a ton of singles, a couple of EPs, they're quite easily put together. And when it comes to like a full body of work, there's a lot that goes into everything in terms of timeline wise. You need a really long build up for all of these things. I'm like last minute Lauren. So like, when someone's like, oh, we need artwork for that by tomorrow, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's the way I roll. And that's not how making an album works. ahead of the game, which I've struggled with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You've got to be prepared, as adults would say. But
it's that. It's the preparation.
Bloody adults. You ruin everything, don't I, adults?
professionalism. What's that about? We don't know.
Yeah.
But we're glad we've got you on because there's so much we want to talk about. It's a very exciting time for you. But before we get into the nitty gritty of everything, very important question to start off. Obviously, it's apparent that you're a massive dog lover.
Oh, yeah.
But my question to you is, where's the weirdest place you have found the poo bag lately?
The weirdest place? Oh, okay. This is a good one. So I find poo bags like in my bed, like, obviously, like in every single pocket that I have.
Wait. They're empty, right? They're empty.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank God. Thank God for that. I thought somebody was planting dog turds around the house.
That would be cool if there was, you know, that would be a very different story if I wake up in the night to like a filled poo bag.
I've got a ghost
who just happens to be a dog and environmentally friendly.
So, it cleans up after itself.
It wasn't me. I think bed is for sure the weirdest place. I mean, they do just crop up everywhere. I think because it's such a like out of the door, you grab it and then you just go about your day and never use it. And then it just remains there. So you could be in Copenhagen, you know, and then you're just like, oh, cool. Poo bag. It's like a sense of realism you don't get with other pet owners. You know what I mean?
No.
It brings you back down to earth.
It does make you wonder about airport security as well, if you've got to Denmark with a bag in your pocket that could have contained anything.
Yeah, what are you doing with that? Yeah.
Oh.
What a weird question, Mo. Why would you?
This isn't weird at all. This is a solid start.
Thank you. I calculated this question very well. But no, there is a lot of things we should get into. And as Sean introduced you there, I mean, there's a lot of excitement and hype around you at the moment releasing your debut album. This period, you're still being introduced to a lot of new listeners, going on tours, supporting bands. But I've seen in like the press, there's been a lot of different ways people have described you. But something that comes up a lot is kind of slacker pop queen. Listening to your music, it has a lot of indie elements, but it feels more that you have a alternative emo mindset on it all as well. How would you really describe yourself and your songwriting and just your evolution in making music so far?
Yeah, I think like genre wise, it's sort of ever evolving. And I don't necessarily like want to pick a place and stay there. And I think when I did first start, I was definitely more like indie slacker pop. But I think as time has gone on, I'm very much wanting to lean into like the rock world. Yeah, that whole like emo pop punk thing is kind of like, I think, where I'm heading to a degree. And I think the thing is, when you're like 24 and you're still listening to Green Day, there comes a point where you're like, what am I doing? But it's amazing because I've had this phase quite late in my life. Like normally kids are like 15 and they're like, Weezer's the best band in the world. And I'm 24 and I'm like, Weezer's the best band in the world. So I'm having my sort of like teenage like fan, like I'm in that sort of 15-year-old boy phase as a 24-year-old woman. And I think that's the sort of funny juxtaposition about what I'm trying to achieve right now.
Well, I'm much older than that, and yeah. I'm still in my 15-year-old new metal and biscuit phase, as you can see from my t-shirt.
Like, I'm late to the party, but I'm happy with that, and I'm happy to wave that flag for sure.
Yeah, never grow up. That's the trick. Yeah, if you don't grow up, if you keep listening to Childish, oh, I can't believe I just called Limp Bizkit Childish. Take that, Fred and Lee. No, I still listen to music I listened to when I was like 16 and stuff. And that's my thing of eternal youth, I think, is if you refuse to grow up and just listen to music like that, you're fine. You're fine.
Exactly. Nothing can go wrong.
You mentioned Weezer there being your favorite band and getting into this kind of music a little later on. Was there a moment that kind of switch flipped for you, that you found this alternative world?
Yeah. So I didn't like grow up like really loving alternative music. I grew up like driving to school with my mum playing like Mika. I did not come from like a musical background at all. But like I was just listening to whatever was on Capital FM until I was probably like 16. And then I like picked up a guitar, went to music college. And then before everything happened, I was playing like Elbow, Weezer, Pixies and stuff like that. And I was like, ooh, what is all this stuff? I feel super cool. And I think that was when I started like finding out there was this whole other world that I didn't know about. Because I think when you first start writing music, your first guitar is normally like an acoustic, and then you get instantly pigeonholed to being this folk singer songwriter, because if you're writing songs just you and a guitar, that's all anyone kind of says it is. So I was sort of very much like, cool, that's what I am. And then I got sort of thrown in a punk band for this kind of like college project, and I was like, this is the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. Went out, got a Marshall stack, you know, scared the neighbours. And then I was like, cool, this is what I want to do right now. So it was very much like, I just hadn't heard of it. I wasn't in that world. I was so away from anything that was that. Like, none of my friends were into it. So I became very much like the odd girl on the Isle of Wight.
Were you doing covers in that punk band, or was it originals?
So we were doing covers and originals. So the first song all I learned was kind of Pixies, obviously Debaser, stuff like that. And then we just wrote tons of rubbish songs called like Shit Cyclist and just and it was like so stupid. And I think there was like four words in the whole song, and it was just like,
shit cyclist, you're a shit cyclist. I quite like it. Do you know what? That sounds like a hit record. Yeah.
I didn't even want to add the A in. It was just, you are shit cyclist.
You are shit cyclist. Oh, even better. Yeah. Is that can we expect that to be a B-side on one of his singles?
Yeah, I plan on getting that band at some point out and about together. I might support myself on tour as shit.
That'd be so good.
Oh, double bubble as well. Good. If you're fronting it, double bubble.
Yeah. Cha-ching. Yeah.
Nice. But do you remember like a moment that made you want to pick up that guitar for the first time, or an alternative band and you thought like, what is this? This is heavy. Like, what?
Yeah, I think it was. It was literally when I was in college, everyone went round and they were like, cool, everyone play a song that you love. I was like, people were playing like Lamb of God and stuff like that. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, have you heard of this guy called like George Ezra or whatever? Like literally so, my head was so commercial at that point. I'd literally never been, you know, like exposed to this sort of stuff. And I just instantly loved it. Like, but I always thought it was funny. Like I always laughed. Like you can't hear the word Lamb of God and not laugh. You know, it's there's an element of humor in it that I think is like often missed, I think, which I didn't sort of realize it before. And that's what I love about it. Especially with bands like Weezer, when I first heard the Blue Album, sort of like 10 years too late, I was like, this is so funny.
Yeah, this will catch on. I think people might like this.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, like, yeah. This is so funny. And I just remember being like, wow, I want to do that. Like, I want to make someone feel like the way I feel right now, listening to like the Blue Album for the first time.
Well, yeah, I definitely get that kind of, that vibe and that attitude from like Still Running.
Yeah.
Which I was listening to earlier, and I love it. It's fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much.
And now you've mentioned that you love Weezer and stuff like that. I can kind of hear it in the thing, and yeah, it's a brilliant song. It's a brilliant song. Who did you do the album with?
So Larry Hibbitt produced the album. So he's obviously Mr. 100 Reasons, and like the sort of running thing was, if I heard about Larry Hibbitt, and the first thing I was like, that's really close to my name. I was like, that's weird. That's a sign. Obviously, he's like my long lost father and we should definitely do this record together. And I think when my manager first sent him an email about me, Larry thought that there'd like been a miscommunication, that like maybe he spelt like Matt had spelt his name wrong or something like that, because it was literally so close.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Larry was like, oh, no. Not a child. I didn't know. Yeah.
I tried to get rid of you 24 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe your mother named you so close to my own name. But yeah, how was working with Larry?
Oh, he's such a legend. Like, he's so cool. Like, I've never spent so long on recording guitars, and it makes such a difference, you know. And I've worked with a few producers, and he just seems so. Like, he just gets it. Like, there was no massive conversation about what we were trying to achieve. It was like, cool, these are the songs. These are all the bands that we love collectively. Like, it's obvious what we're going to do. Like, we don't need to sit and talk about it for ages. Like, we're going to make, like, a fun rock record. Let's just do it now and get everything going. Get the Mesa Boogie out. And it was, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Well, yeah, you have. You have definitely written a very, very good record in... Right, how are we pronouncing this now? Are we going to pronounce it the American way or the British way? Because it's Garage Band Superstar.
Yeah.
Or, if we're American, it's Garage Band Superstar, which grinds my gears. So, which one are you going with?
I'm going with Garage Band Superstar.
Ooh.
You know, but I'll look forward to the garage. I'll look forward
garage.
To saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when people say Gerard Way wrong. That's, yeah. Gerard? Gerard's in his garage. Is he writing songs?
If I can hear that sentence a couple more times, that'd be great.
But speaking of that kind of Weezer and lyrical content that you've enjoyed, a lot of your lyrics I've noticed so far are quite tongue-in-cheek, and there's some self-awareness humor involved in all that. And I think with songwriting, a lot of people like to kind of interpret lyrics for themselves, what the song's about, but it's kind of straightforward with you that you are making jokes of people, you are telling stories. Is that something early on when writing that you just kind of wanted to delay and put in your music?
Yeah, I don't think it was ever really like a conscious thought. I think that's just sort of how I am as a person. I'm quite dry and, you know, I don't take myself too seriously, and, you know, I cover a lot of whatever I feel up in sort of some dark comedy. And I think that's just because that's how I am. That's how I write. It's never been like a conscious effort. I think it's just, yeah, the way I feel about stuff demonstrated like that. It's never really been something I've thought about too much.
With those lyrics, is there any in particular that have really made you laugh and they're very kind of proud that you have in the song that you maybe couldn't get away with writing other music?
Yeah, definitely. I think on the record, there's a track called Average Joe, and that's just kind of like me, like really honing in on just the average male to like a serious degree, where he's sort of like taking pictures of his car, you know what I mean? Watching loads of Netflix originals, but then getting high on the weekend and all of that sort of thing. It's just I love painting a picture of a character and taking it so far to an extreme where, you know, all of these normal things sound absolutely like ludicrous. And I think in songs like that, that's what I really feel like I've kind of done what I wanted to do and really sort of bring a normal bloke down.
you have every right to. But on the flip side to that, is there being anything you've written and gone, ooh, maybe this is a bit too far? Or is that just kind of not being aware for you? You want to push the envelope with these kind of things?
Yeah, I think there's points, I think, when I've sent songs to, you know, management and that kind of thing, and they're like, ooh, okay. And they sort of end up on the maybe part, and I think that maybe part starts the second album. You know, everything everyone's a bit like, maybe that was too far, I think, is where I will go next. I think I've sort of weaned my way in with the messages so far.
Well, how much of it was written in GarageBand?
Well, I think the funny thing is that it's the only sort of software that I know how to use, because I'm a bit of a technophobe. So like when I do write, like that is sort of my go-to, which is so funny because it's, you know, like it's not cool. It's not, you know, like, oh my God, I went and learned Pro Tools. Look at me go. Look at me fly. Look at these XLRs. Like it's literally so stupid. And I think that's the sort of the humor in it, and I do feel like a superstar in my own right when I'm demoing my funny songs on GarageBand, and that's sort of how it all came about.
Well, I've noticed you've mentioned a few times that you kind of feel this like larger than life lifestyle when writing these songs in your bedroom or whatever, but outside of it you kind of realize that you're just normal and that these songs are just a kind of a side thing. But like, is there a creative mindset for you that takes you away from reality? Like, how do you kind of get in the zone for that feeling?
Yeah, I think it normally comes from like being on my own, like living on my own. I'm very much in my own head, and I'm very much always, I guess I'm very selfish in the sense that I'm always thinking about myself. And I think we all are to a degree, because we're all the only voice like in our head. So we're all seeing it from our perspective. So I'm very much like, I leave the house and talk to other people, and I'm like, I'm literally so normal. Like, it's so funny and it's so weird that when I'm like by myself at home, I create this weird world, like for me. But actually, everyone's just like, oh yeah, there's Lauren. Like, it's literally, I'm not a bit. But in my head, I am. And that's sort of like, I think when I get into like that writing zone and frame of mind is when I am, like, I've had a lot of time by myself to really sort of, you know, get in my own head and like devise this version of myself that I think I am. And then I leave the house and I'm just so not that person.
Hmm. So what is your writing personality like then? How different are you in writing mode than when you leave the house?
I'm just like so confident, like when I'm writing. I think it's everything I'd want to be. And then you put me in that real life situation and I'm just like, ah, yeah, that's all good, thanks. Yeah, see you soon. Like really polite. Like someone's like, can you move out the fucking way? And I'm like, yes, of course, absolutely, I'll move out the fucking way. So very much like, yeah, I'm just very awkward in real life.
And what, in the house, you're just shouting around the objects, just saying like, I'm a superstar, I'm writing songs, get out of my way. Yeah,
exactly. That's sort of my persona at home.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to be, though, I think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when my old band was doing it all right, I think a lot of the people would be like, oh, he's awfully confident for somebody with absolutely no talent whatsoever. And that's literally just, when I'm in that mode, I could just switch to be like, right, it's performing now. Here we go. Ah, ha, ha. Overly confident. Can't hit a note. Here we go. So, but that's the thing. But yeah, so yeah, don't ever think that you're alone in doing that or you're strange for doing that. Because I'd imagine the majority of people in bands probably like do that, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. You can't be like that all the time. Like you can't go around your nan's for a roast and give her all that spiel. She won't understand.
Yeah. that's Russell Brand.
Yeah. Yeah, Russell Brand never takes a day off.
No, I
don't.
Yeah, He's permanently on. He did one too many bumps in the early 2000s, and now he's constantly flying, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, fair enough to him.
But speaking of this record, there is obviously two very noteworthy features that we have to talk about.
I'm on it. Am I on it? Oh, it wasn't our fault.
Oh, sorry. Mate, I was thinking album two, if you're cool with that.
Well, I tell you what, we'll see how this one does, and
bide your time. I would bide your time. This is very much going to go either way at the minute.
But one we have to bring up first is, of course, you have the iconic DJ Lethal from Limp Bizkit. Now, obviously, people listen to this know how much of a Limp Bizkit fan Sean is. So I think I can speak for him when I say how.
I got an idea. Never fucking speak for me more.
No?
Right?
Okay.
For a start. You know? Reel that in. Lauren, I got a question. How did that come about?
That was so much better coming from you. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, wow.
She turned on both of us. She's turned us against each other as well. Fucking hell. This is the worst one we've ever done. This isn't one out. Anyway, how did you get DJ Lethal?
Yeah, so on the demo of the track, there was just this sort of like really sketchy scratching stuff, all sort of like free sound, nothing notable. But when we were recording the track, we really noticed that kind of scratching element was missing. And we were like, we'd really cool if we got someone in to do this properly, live recorded it. We were like, yeah, great. We were literally down the pub called The White Horse in Brixton. And there was some guy doing it in there. And we were like, should we ask him? Literally like super casual. Like we could ask this bloke just to do it. And then Larry was like, oh, how cool would it be if we had DJ Lethal? And I was like, stop it. I was like, stop. Don't even utter those words to me. And then, yeah, we sat in the White Swan. I messaged him on Instagram, messaged him about the track. And I was like, I like you so much. It would be so cool if you wanted to do this for not much money. Would you consider this? It was like the worst awkward message ever. And then he left me unread for 2 days. It was very painful. But then the next day in the studio, I was on my phone and I saw DJ Lethal was typing like dot, dot, dot. You know, it comes up like that. And we were all just like, cowered down my phone like, oh my God, oh my God.
He's about to bring it on. He's about to bring it on. He's about to bring it on.
What's it going
to
be? Like, the fact that he was even typing, it was literally making us like sweat. And then he came back and he like wrote the nicest message ever. And he was like, I love the track. I definitely want to do it. Like, send me the thing. Send me the back. And we were like, oh my God, we were literally so buzzing. Like, we were literally jumping around. Like, it was amazing. We were so excited.
That's awesome, because I've messaged Fred Durst a good few times now, and he's read them all. Yes. He's read them all, and he only ever replies with some sort of lightning signal. I don't know, imagery. I don't know what that's about. I sent him a message saying, please come on my podcast. Everything I have is because of you and my love for you. Honestly, I won't talk about anything you don't want to talk about. It will literally be me rimming you for an hour, I said to him. And he has got... He has not got back to me, so congratulations to you
on
that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not jealous.
I'm not jealous at all, and I'm not going to do exactly what you did to see if I can get him on my new band songs. So we'll see what happens. I'll write that down. Message.
I can slide in a good word if you'd appreciate.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
But like even during the track, you get to kind of scream DJ Lethal with a little bit of reverb and everything as well, which just must be like a mad full circle moment for you being able to have that on one of your songs and then have him scratch.
I'd say that me seeing DJ Lethal was probably took the longest of all things that we did. Because I couldn't believe it. I could not stop laughing like the whole time. I was like, this is so mad that we're doing this and it's not a joke. Like, this is so mad. It was probably I felt like as soon as we like got DJ Lethal on track, I was like, I'm fine. I instantly relaxed. Like the whole album process for me became, this is fine. It like DJ Lethal makes this whole thing more than fine. I was like, I can chill now. Like, sweet, I'm done.
Well, yeah, when I heard you do the DJ Lethal, my instant thought was, does he make everybody, like, is that his thing? Is he like, you've got to name me. Like, I'll do it, but you have to shout my name at some point. Was that in the contract at all?
I actually asked him if I could do it, because I was like, I was like, do you mind if I just like, is it okay if I say your name? And he was like, yeah, of course. So I was like, yes, straight in the class. Phone, like going mad. Oh,
wow. Yeah. 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 Well, that definitely helps the album process where you got DJ Lethal for featuring on a track. But as well, there's another kind of legend with the never aging teenage dirtbag himself, Mr. Triple B from Wheatus. I mean, like, talk to us about that, because the other side of your kind of musical journey, that must have been like a mad collaboration for you to do as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think what happened was I got really confident for a minute on Instagram. Like, as soon as you pull something off, like DJ Lethal, you're like, why stop now? Like, let's see how far we can go. Like,
I'm going to get Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, too confident. Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, who could I hit up next? So obviously I am a Wheatus fan beyond Teenage Dirtbag. You know, I absolutely love that record. I think there's so many Wheatus influences in the way I write. They're so funny. And yeah, I was like, when I decided to name the album after the track on the album GarageBand Superstar, that was probably my most Wheatus influenced track. And I kind of always had this like male vocal on it. And I was like, here we go. Let's try Brendan. Let's see, like, what's the worst that can happen? And he came back and it was a bit of a longer process, but he heard the track. And again, he liked it and he wanted to do it. And I was literally like, what is going on? Why did I not do this before? I could just start messaging people right now. So yeah, it was all very much like just me messaging on Instagram, praying, hoping for the best.
Was there anybody else that you hit up in your overconfident mood?
I did try my luck with Weezer, but not this time.
Okay.
Next one. Okay. It's the next. Actually, it'll probably be me and
you and Rivers. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Rivers on the next one. I look forward to that. Yeah, nice.
But I mean, like, obviously there's like, when you're releasing a debut album, that's such a massive deal for any artist anyway. But the fact that you have a member of Limp Bizkit and a member of Wheatus on the record must just make you even more excited. And because especially the polar opposites of those collaborations, I'm sure there's a lot of people going to be checking you out for the first time, seeing the track list and going, what's going on there?
Yeah. And I think that's always what I wanted. You know, I'm still like growing a lot as an artist. And I think I wanted to latch onto these people and, you know, their fan bases and be like, and I wanted to show everyone that that's the sort of record I want to make. That this is what I listen to. And they may not be your heroes, but they're my heroes. And it's a massive deal for me to have them on the record. It's so exciting. And it's, you know, in a lot of ways, it's not cool at all. But in my world, that's literally the coolest thing that's ever happened. So,
yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's what the whole message of the record is. And it's perfect that they're featuring.
Yeah, no, of course. And it's lovely to see your enthusiasm and excitement for everything. And as I've mentioned, you know, a lot of people will be listening to you for the first time. But you have had a busy career these last few years in the industry, releasing EPs and touring with a lot of different artists. Is there anything you've taken away from your experiences so far that's being like a giant learning curve or just made you realize certain things about the music industry? I mean, what comes to mind when you look at your experiences so far?
I think touring is where I've learned the most. And I think going out on support tours with bands like Stand Atlantic, The Regrets, people like that, you really learn a lot about like live performance. And I think that's what I enjoy doing the most, and I wouldn't sort of do all of this if I couldn't go out and play it live. So I think that's where I've learned the most, and I think that's where you still pick people up. I mean, social media is cool and fun and making TikToks are a joke, but I think going out and meeting people and having people watch you play is still the most effective way to like show anyone what you do. So that's definitely what I've learned the most and what I want to do the most in my career is just live as much as possible.
Yeah. How was that Stan Atlantic tour? We're good friends with Bon and Mickey. They've been on the podcast a lot. Mickey takes the piss out of us on Instagram quite a lot, actually. So I'm sure that's just a great laugh.
You say friends. It's more of a bullying relationship coming from him.
Yeah. No, it was so much fun. Those guys are sick. I actually played one of their songs with them each night, and it got sort of more and more mental each time we did it. So yeah, no, it was sick. And I feel quite bad because I always have this tour curse that goes on with me, and I like can never successfully finish a tour without something absolutely like it getting cancelled or my gear getting stolen or something always happens to me. Like I can laugh about it now.
I know that feeling. Yeah, I know that feeling.
But on like the last day of the Stan tour, like everyone got COVID basically. So it's like, cool. And they're all like, this is your fault. Because I mentioned like the tour. I was like, yeah, I made it. Last day of the tour, we rocked up to the venue and they were like, show's not going ahead. And it's your fault.
Shit. What's some of the other tour curses you've had over the years?
Yeah, so I got out to Europe with Hippocampus and The Regrets, and both those tours got cancelled like midway through Europe due to like illness and things like that. And then I was on a tour with The Vamps, funnily enough, and all our gear got stolen the night we played the Apollo, which was so nice. But we still actually finished that tour, which is so weird. But yeah, something always happened to me like on a tour. So I did tell them about the curse of me. I was like, before you take me out, you should probably know that.
Yeah, I got an idea. Definitely make sure your booking agent doesn't send that out like with the offers. Yeah. Like, hey, she'd love to support you, but hey, somebody might die in your crew.
Exactly. Like, sorry, I'm giving you the warning. Like, sorry if someone goes missing. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's a murderer, but things do tend to happen when she's on tour.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh. On this podcast, one thing we do like to talk to our guests about is just kind of surreal moments they've had so far in your career. And you've mentioned a lot of mad things that's happened already, but is there like anyone you've met along the way or just a certain moment that really stands out to you that you kind of can translate and tell some of your like friends from school or family members or just something you're really, really proud of?
Yeah, I think there's been like a few notable things. I think definitely playing like some bucket list festivals, like playing Glastonbury, playing Reading. It's the sort of thing that makes like, you know, people that don't really understand what you do. And you've always got that member of your family that's a bit like, how's it going? And then you can say something to them and even they go like, I know what that means. Like that. So I guess it's things like that that sort of translate over to the mainstream where kind of people start believing that what you're doing isn't just a funny little band anymore. It's actually something that you're taking kind of seriously. So I think, yeah, playing festivals like that, I think having features like are on this record. But I think personal moments, I think when all our gear got stolen the night of the Vamps gig, I think playing that with just a tuner and someone's random guitar was probably the coolest thing to me that I feel like we've managed to pull off.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more punk rock than that, surely. You've just turned up, fuck it. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, it was like so like cool. We've got absolutely nothing, but whatever, we're here, so let's just do it anyway. And I think stuff like that, I'm like, oh, cool. When I think about how that I actually did that, I was like, that's mental, because like right now at home, thinking about that makes my palms clam the hell up. I don't know what happened.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you with that at all.
Is there any heroes then that you are looking to meet in the future? Or I'd say always meet your heroes, right? Because I've been lucky enough to have met all mine and they've all been fucking lovely, right? All the dicks I've met seem to be in shit. We're always in shit or smaller bands, right?
If
you get a chance, meet your heroes. And yeah, who are some of your heroes that you'd like to meet or play with? Put it out there now and we're manifesting. And we're manifesting life,
I would absolutely obviously love to meet Rivers from Weezer. I've been on his back for so long. He definitely knows me as that like weird girl that doesn't leave him alone and go see like every avenue. So I'd like to just be like, so sorry about all of that. I love you. I'd love to like meet and like write with Phoebe Bridgers. I think she's so awesome. She's super cool. There's so many, it's hard to like whittle it down to like such a small amount of people. But yeah, I think to be able to meet Fred Durst would be unbelievable. Obviously we couldn't do that without you, could I? Like, we'd have to go.
Yeah, he's shorter than you expect.
100%. And yeah, there's I just freak out about seeing anyone. Like, I remember I saw, you know, Lord Sugar, I saw him outside of like a co-op once. I'd not even talked to him. And I literally nearly had like a panic attack because if I see anyone that's like famous, I freak out. So I also saw, who's that dude from Game of Thrones? Jon Snow. I saw him in a prayer and I literally lost. I made him so uncomfortable, I think. So I don't want to meet these people because I know I'd have a negative effect on their lives. But yeah, I'm up for whoever would sit down with me, I would sit down with them.
But also, that's two mad celebrities to bump into in two mad establishments. Like, what's Sugar doing in a co-op?
He was actually outside. I don't know if like he was just outside one.
Yeah. He just hangs about outside co-op.
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he'd gone to get some money out inside. Who knows? Like, I was like, oh, Sugar! He didn't even look at me, so it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have to attack him on sight, I think.
You'd have to, I think. Yeah, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You can't explain it.
Yeah, not in a good way, though. I think I'd have to probably forearm him until he was unconscious, I was thinking, because I just dislike him. Yeah, Jon Snow's awesome. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm chuffed with Jon Snow. I'm just getting angry thinking about seeing Alan Sugar in my hometown now. Get out of America. You're not welcome.
He ordered like a black Americano or something. And then like the girl behind the till was like, white Americano? And he pulled down his mask and he said, no, I ordered a black Americano. And I was like, yeah. I was so dramatic. I literally made that noise in his ear and I was like, oh my god, hi. And you can just tell he was like, please no, please no, please no. I just freaked out.
I'm glad you're doing that though. I mean, like, I would advise anyone to this kind of have these random moments of people
they look up
to.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one thing I did want to mention was I've noticed just really like listening to the album and your lyrics and some other things you've mentioned in the past is that a normal theme you've had is trying not to compare yourself to other people in terms of what's going on in music or just social media and that kind of living that kind of fake lifestyle. I think that's something that a lot of people, especially now, are struggling with and just kind of thinking that they don't live up to other people's expectations of themselves or what other people are doing online, etc. Is there any advice you would give on things you've done to kind of separate yourself from that and ground yourself and come back to reality?
Yeah, I think like because it happens to everyone, I think, especially like the younger generation who have grown up with that being so like prominent in their lives. I think the only thing that I would say sort of being at the tail end of that is like, I think about like when I'm literally on my deathbed, am I going to be thinking about how many people liked my picture on Instagram? Am I going to be thinking about what Spotify lists I got and all that kind of stuff? And it all feels great at the time and it is cool, but ultimately doesn't define you as a human being. And it doesn't, you know, really mean that what someone else is doing who gets all that stuff is better than what you're doing who maybe doesn't get that stuff. And everyone's got a different, you know, I don't want to use the word journey. And like, I think, yeah, you've just got to sort of do that thing that I do and live at home by yourself and just live in your own head and think that you're the best person ever for that 12 hours and then go out and be like, oh, I'm not.
have you noticed like a massive difference in your mental health from taking those steps?
I think so. And like, don't get me wrong, there's still times where I'm like, oh my God, like I wish I was doing that. And it's so easy to sink back into that hole and go on your phone. And there's too much, like, you know, but also there's so many bands and artists in the world. There's never a shortage of upcoming bands. So I think if you're making small steps and you've got, you know, if you're getting these little wins, that's kind of more than most. And I kind of feel like sort of 16-year-old me would be really excited about what I'm doing now. So I try and like not be ungrateful or like, you know, want too much because the goalposts always move. So I think it's cool to like appreciate what you've actually done so far.
Right on. Well said.
And as we're recording this, you have such a busy summer coming up with a load of festivals, including 2000 Trees, which we're very excited about. I'm sure that's just going to be a kind of experience in itself, a life in itself, just getting to go around and see so many people up close and personal.
Definitely. I think because of the pandemic as well, this will be the first summer where you get like a full run of festivals. So I'm really excited to get back into that, because I love festivals. I think they're great for like finding new talent and stuff like that. So hopefully people will accidentally walk past me and go, huh, what's that? And then walk over with their warm busters and go, yeah, she ain't bad.
Yeah. Did she just do a 2001 reference to Limp Bizkit? Did she just shout DJ Lethal? That's clear. Are you going to have a live DJ? Have you got a live DJ?
No, but I want one so bad.
Me too. I need one for my band as well. I need one for my band because it's... Yeah, that's the thing. I've always loved Limp Bizkit, right? It's never died. My passion, they had a wave, right, of, oh, they were super cool, and then everybody hated them. Never happened for me, right?
Yeah, you were the constant.
Yeah, I was the one, I was probably the one keeping them alive. I was the one who's buying Results May Vary when nobody else was. And yeah, I've always wanted a live DJ, and they just seem to have disappeared. I cannot find, there's nobody about anymore. I wonder if that's because of digital. Like, everyone's moved to, like, CDJs and stuff like that. Because I know Lethal's setup is like an old 1210 deck and an old sampler and stuff. So, yeah, I wonder if DJs have disappeared because everybody's on CDs and MP3s now.
I think so. That's sad. We need to bring them back.
So, yeah, if anybody's listening to this and is a scratch DJ, please get in touch with the podcast at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Because I'd like you to be involved with stuff I've got going on. And if you're good enough, maybe Lauren can employ you as well. So, get in touch with us. Let's find out. Because
budgets are low. So I'd say start out that budgets are low for me. So if you could do it at sort of a starting rate as well, that'd be awesome.
But you can pay them in laughter. You can pay them in laughter, I'm sure.
True.
Yeah. And a tour being cancelled towards the end. So, yeah.
The good thing with me is they'll never have to finish a tour, so that'll come in the way, of course.
Yeah. Hey, if it says on the schedule we're out for 2 weeks, you've got 10 days and then you're old.
That's exactly it. That's what I get to do with just paying the bare minimum.
Yeah,
I'd imagine a lot of scratch DJs, if they still exist, right? They will literally probably just do it for nothing now, just because it's almost like a lost art, like it a lost is, talent.
Yeah,
it's like people playing old instruments and nobody plays anymore. Oh, that's sad to think. The DJs are like nearly obsolete. Never in my mind, or my heart will DJs be obsolete. You're all out. Listen to this. I know how many scratch DJs listen to our podcast every week. It's loads, right? You will always have a place in my heart, right? So scratch DJ lives on in my heart.
I think it will come back around. It will definitely come back around. If people are wearing flared jeans again, there's time for scratch DJs to rejoice, 100%. Yeah,
that's very true. And flared jeans are everywhere at the moment. But I just like the thought of one very angry scratch DJ listening to this now going, I can't believe they're saying this about my... my outlet.
I'm not obsolete. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Well, Lauren, just a couple more quick things now as we kind of wind down. I've absolutely loved hearing all these stories and your insight into everything. But with this new record coming out, what's like three things that you want people to take away from it in terms of either lyrics and just feels? Anything. When people listen to this debut record, what do you want them to take away with?
I kind of want them to, you know, relate to it. Obviously, I think people obviously take things in lots of different ways, and that's great. But I'd love just for other people to be like, do you know what? I'm so glad someone said it, because it's that thing that no one says, but I feel all the time. So I think it's that for sure. Also, I want them to laugh too. That's always fun. I'll be like, who would write that? That's not okay. And then thirdly, I'd like them to go, yeah, that's good. I'd pay £15 for that or whatever it is.
What are prices on albums?
I didn't know what it was, so I just said £15. I have no idea how much they are.
No, you've woken me up to realising literally don't know how much an album costs anymore.
It's scary looking at vinyl prices for some bands, because some bands will charge between like 15 and 40 quid, and then it's a bit like, maybe
you can charge 40 quid for vinyl nowadays.
You can.
Oh, I'm going to put some blanks out. Fuck this shit. 40 quid for a vinyl. I'd want it to come with a record player. It has to play itself for 40 quid. That's insane.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, before you go, Lauren, because obviously you're very, very, I believe you're very funny. Is there any, have you got any like favourite comedians or anything?
Favourite comedians? That's a good question. Do you know what? Not massively in terms of like no straight up ones, but I love this TV show called Staff Let's Flats with like Jamie and Tash Dimitri. I think they are so funny, especially Tash Dimitri. She has some unbelievable footage on YouTube of her dressed up as different characters. She's very dry. So yeah, I'm feeling that massively. I've also started watching that Nathan For You. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that.
No.
I don't know what his second name is, but it's this guy that goes into like rescue businesses. He's like a parody guy, and he'll be like, okay, so for your pizza business that's like not doing very well right now, you should offer like, if you haven't delivered in 8 minutes, offer a free pizza. And the free pizza is literally like this big, so small. And like, they just film this delivery guy going round, like with, and they're like, yeah, you took like 20 minutes. You're obviously late. And he's like, oh yeah. And then he gets out this tiny little pizza. And like, you get some like proper blokes, like literally punching this guy or like women laughing. It's just super funny. He's just like,
nice. Wow.
Have you seen Bo Burnham Inside?
No, I haven't actually.
Watch it on Netflix. It's fantastic. I am. Bo Burnham should start paying me for PR. I think, because you
do like to mention him to a lot of people. I think more people found out about Bo Burnham through you than they have Netflix.
Bo, I know you listen every week, right? You're a massive fan of this, obviously. Come on the podcast, you miserable, hidden away motherfucker.
Why don't you just message him on Instagram?
I have. The day it came out, I watched Inside. I laughed. I cried. I laughed again. Right? It's literally, there's a bit in there where he talks about, he's thinking about killing himself while recording a comedy special. So,
okay,
keep that in mind when you're watching it. But I literally messaged him the day after saying, thank you so much for this. It explains so much about who I am inside as well. And I hope that you are alive. Because, at the end, you're a bit like, oh no. But yeah, check it out. It won a Grammy the other day for a song on it, and it's fucking fantastic. So
I'll check it out.
Yes, yes, you must. And then I want a full review. Well, you don't have to do a full review, but yeah, just send at Sapling Pod, yes, that was good, or fuck off. I'm never taking any recommendations off you pricks again.
Okay, that's something I can definitely do.
Oh, there we go. We look forward to that. But with everything mentioned, Doran, obviously new album comes out on August the 19th, but is there anything else you'd like to plug, talk about, just kind of get the information out there? Please do.
I think just pre-order the album, come see me on tour, laugh at me on Twitter, and don't take yourself too seriously.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We've enjoyed this conversation a lot.
Thanks for having me. Super fun.
Oh, pleasure. Oh, pleasure.
Good. Thank you.
We're excited to see you at 2000 Trees and catch you soon.
100%. See you there.
Sweet. Thank you.
Bye. You're
listening to Sapling Podcast. Yes, that was the wonderful Lauren Hibbard on this week's episode of Sapling Podcast. The music is fantastic. It's pop, rock, quirky, funky, indie. It's a mixture of everything. She's wonderful. She's got a fantastic personality. I was surprised to learn she lives on the Isle of Wight, so she's also probably not paying any tax, so that's class.
Oh, you're just making bold statements here. But no, surely, no, but we absolutely loved having her on. There's so much hype around her at the moment, and it's well-deserved. She's absolutely killing it with her music, and it's just so refreshing to see a larger-than-life personality like this in the music industry, not taking themselves too seriously, but doing a great job of just bringing a lot of comedy and larger than life lifestyle into the scene and everything around it. And of course, she's being extremely busy around the release of this new record. This week, she's put out her new single, Step Mum, which is available on all streaming platforms now. She's announced a UK headline tour for September 2022, and she's even had a track feature in the popular Netflix series Heartstopper, which a lot of people are talking about. So she's everywhere, and I think you have to get used to that because she's going to be even more places as time goes on.
If there is a God, she'll do very, very well, I believe. So if she doesn't know, that's not my fault. But yeah, she is an absolute superstar. I believe she will do very, very well. I cannot wait to see her become Britain's biggest act, maybe. And then and then she'll owe everything to us. So, Lauren, if you're listening, get ready because we're coming for 15% in the future.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That'll be a good payday. But as well, like having DJ Lethal feature, Bending Bree Bound of Wheatus, like these are some mad collaborations. I love the fact that she sorted them for Instagram and yeah, she's killing it. Absolutely killing it. I'm excited to see her play live at 2000 Trees Festival this summer. Of course, if you want 10% off your tickets, head over to 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets. Use the promo code SAPNIN for 10% off all tickets. Weekend, VIP, whatever you want, you get a little discount for listening to this episode. A great, great lineup. Check out the website for the full listing. Young Guns, Nova Twins, Boston Manor, Yumi at 6, Jimmy at World for Covey. The list goes on. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Before we go on, Sean, I wanted to give a quick shout out to some other bands this week. Stand Atlantic have been mentioned throughout this episode.
Never heard of them.
We're friends with them. They've been on before. We're friends with them.
All right. Yeah, carry on, mate.
Well, their new album, Fear, was released last week. I've been listening to it a lot the past 7 days. A lot of good songs, so I encourage everyone to check that out.
Ooh.
And this week I went to see Soft Cult live on their debut UK tour. Soft Cult.
Oh, with an N. All right, yeah, carry on.
On their debut UK tour, and had a fabulous time catching up with them. If you like Stan Atlantic, Lauren Hibbard, I think you'd enjoy them as well. And today, State Champs released a new album, so a lot of new music to sink your teeth into after this episode. And if you want to know more about new music going on, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapning, where every month we're going to be putting up a exclusive playlist of tracks that we're checking out. New music from previous artists, who we think you would like. And there's a lot of bonus features on there, from extra podcasts, videos, and you get included into a wonderful community of people we love very, very, very much.
Yes, yes. Please do that. Patreon.com/sapning. Like the boy said. Also, what's going on this week? Well, today, when this comes out, this is Friday the 13th, mind.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we should have had Freddy Krueger on, really, shouldn't we?
No, we should have, really.
I would much prefer to look at Lauren. So, he was fantastic and much more fun than Freddy Krueger, I'd imagine, because he just wants to kill people.
I don't think he'd be a good chat.
Yes, Friday the 13th. Tonight, I am DJing in Nottingham at Percy Picklebackers. I might have made that last bit up, but check it
is
out.
Is that a real venue? Are you making that up?
Bro, I am fucking... I read Percy Pickle something. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say Percy Pigs Pickle Problems. Yeah, what? Yeah.
Percy Pigs Pepper Pigs Pervert Prostate Exam. That's what I'm going to be tonight, May the 13th. What other news is there? Next weekend, then, I believe I will be at... sorry for laugh. Yeah, nice laugh here. Morgan's laughing because I pulled a face because I'm shit the dates. I'm going to be DJing at the My Chemical Romance shows in Milton Keynes at the MK Dons Stadium on the Saturday and Sunday. I cannot wait for that. That's going to be fun, I hope. Please come along and get there early and come and dance to some songs. And then the weekend after that, I think I'm going to go and see Glassjaw on the Friday with our good friend Johnny Phillips. Saturday, then, I'm going to be in Cardiff at Sapphire Gardens to watch My Chemical Romance again. But then I'm DJing a team-up after at Kong's. So, a lot of stuff going on. Check out both of our socials. My Twitter is @SeanSmithSucks, and my Instagram is @FakeSeanSmith. There'll be more information about where I'm DJing and everything I got going on, including my terrible band that nobody gives a fuck about. Also, check out Morgan's socials @MHRichards_ on both Twitter and Facebook.
And Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know why you said fucking Facebook. I had like a mam stroke in the middle of that. And, oh, Facebook, yeah. yes, so yes, because Morgan is professional, both of those names, @MHRichards_, and then I've got two that I can't get verified on because they're making fun of me, myself.
Yeah,
so.
it's worth following us and the Sapling pages just to see what we get up to on the daily in our busy lives, going to gigs and just behind the scenes content of this podcast. And if you want even more, again, please check out patreon.com/Sapling for the best way to support us if you've enjoyed this episode. The community in there are full of people that we love dearly. We love everyone who's ever supported us anyway, and if you're listening to this, we super appreciate you. But the Patreon helps us make this podcast each and every week. So we need to say a massive thank you to loads of names. If you head to the description, there's a bunch there. But as always, Sean is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Modern Talking, Leave Away, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Mitch Perry, Dilly, I Thought This Was Only Fans, Grimwood, Kelly Young, Kelly Ewan, Nathan Croshaw, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besant, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Six Gun Scotty, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Alexandra Pemberton, Stuart, not Clive, despite being old enough, McNaught, Tom Owen, Caroline Robinson, Chris Auer, Joe Ackland, Emma Evans-Robert, Jacob Hetherington, Kate Puttock, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, John Smith, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Kelly Cannon, Jason Heredia, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Kalila Keane, John Smith, 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 John Josh, what do you call a Mexican Jedi, Obi, Juan Kenobi, Crisp, Alice Wood, Reese Bowling, and last by no means least, the mighty Kate Stevenson. Also, I'd like to say I'm not sure if Kate Stevenson is mighty. I just said that. Maybe she is mighty. I don't know. I've never seen a fight.
She must be powerful for being a patron. I think all our patrons are powerful and
beautiful,
wonderful.
As well. Don't forget beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Supercalifragilistic, espialidocious, even though some of it is simply quite atrocious. And magical. Just trying to think of words.
There's
going to
be a lot of listeners, right? There's going to be a lot of listeners who listen to us, right, almost weekly, right, that are going to be like, fair play to Sean and Morgan. They fuck loads of words up every week, right, to a deadline on this podcast. And then Morgan's just ripped out supercalifragilisticexpialidocious with absolutely no problems. That's mad.
We learn. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening. This has been a wonderful episode. It's been great to know Lauren. It's been a very emotional week. So thank you for sticking with us. We love you all very, very much. Please remember that. And we will be back each and every Friday with a new guest, getting insight into silly things about music and beyond. And next week, big number. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes,
that's
what I'm saying. 2 next week, isn't it? Yeah, fucking nice one. I'm going to be sitting on my DeLong chairs. Anyway, episode 182 next week. Guess who the guests are? I bet you don't. Get at us at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram to tell us who you think the guests are for next week's episode, which is episode 182. That's 182. I won't give any more clues, right? But if you blink, you might miss it.
Oh, people are really going to be looking at all the small things you've just said.
Oh, nice, Morg. Do you know what? I'm feeling this. Keep going.
Tune in next week to see what our age is again.
Yeah, that one don't work.
okay. That's it. Let me leave it. Yeah, we leave it. Just leave it. Leave it there.
We've gone too far. We've gone too far. They're going to be fucking gutted next week now, innit? You're not. It's a fucking fantastic lineup. I can't wait.
Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway. Yes. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Long live Ryan Chisholm. What's happening?
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.